ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्यागजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं भजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Name 584 of Vishnu Sahasranam is Nirvanam. We didn't get to this verse yet, still on the previous verse, so we won't chant this verse. Nirvana is a well-known word in the Western countries among people who are into, quote, Eastern spirituality, unquote. I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure it must be in the English dictionary. So in Russia, the word must be well-known also. Yeah. But it's a misunderstood word. In as much as the original meaning of the word and what it's generally understood to mean are different. What is it understood to mean? Well, it's that again, if you ask people what is nirvana, they'll say, well, it's anyway, it's indescribable. The point is that it's become very well known in the Western world due to Buddhism. The ultimate goal of Buddhism is to attain the state of nirvana. And this is supposed to have been discovered and revealed by Buddha. But although Buddha denied the Vedas and in that sense started what we would nowadays call a new religion, although at the time there wasn't really even a concept of there being a religion or a new religion. most of the concepts he took from Vedic understanding. And we find in the Bhagavad Gita, which predates Buddha Dev's appearance in this world, the word nirvana, not as a name of Vishnu, but as a state of attainment. Brahma nirvanam ricchati, one can attain to the spiritual state of nirvana. So it is a name also of Vishnu. Practically anything can be a name. And this is a name. Any word could be a name of his. This nirvana. Vana means sound. So no sound, when you become silent, beyond the babble of this world. In the spiritual world there's sound. It's interesting that this name comes just after the names that connect the existence of Vishnu, or the names of Vishnu that are in relation to the Samaveda. Veda is sound. Veda, Vani. Vani means we often say it's instruction, but it is instruction, but it means pronounced sound. Ah. And samave, there is particularly that which is to be sung. So what does it mean, no sound? It means beyond the sound of this material world, beyond the cacophony of this material world. You know that word, cacophony? You have the, in Russian also, the same word. Comes from Latin, I presume. You've heard the word symphony? You haven't heard that word? Symphony means sound which is harmonic. The sounds go together very nicely. If you have six or seven different instruments, in an orchestra you'll have more. You'll have violin, maybe piano, double bass, timpani is a kind of drum. And they all play in such a way that it makes nice music. That's called symphony. And it's often used in English to mean harmony, beyond music. And the opposite of that is cacophony. That means if all the instruments are playing in different times, different tunes or no tune. So the spiritual world is symphonic, and the material world is cacophonic. It's all crazy. Did you notice? Crazy place. There is harmony also. Everything is held together by Krishna. Anyway, beyond all this madness of this material world, what is there? There is bliss. So this name, in relation to Vishnu, means bliss. Once you get beyond all the madness of this material world, there is simply bliss. And in Buddhism, there's also that idea, although it's very difficult to, no one will say that they can actually define what nirvana is. But when they attempt to do so, attempt to give some indication, one of the main symptoms or characteristics of that state is a state of bliss. Otherwise, why bother? Why try for it? If it's why should one try to do anything? Because one seeks happiness. So that is the happiness of. They give the example in Buddhism of a nirvana is like there's a candle and it goes out. What is the state of the flame now? It's a state of non-existence. That's an example they give. But by the mercy of Vyasadeva, his name has just been featured. So many names, which are names of Vyasadeva. By the mercy of Vyasadeva, we know that beyond the madness of this material world, there is the sanity of the spiritual world, and beyond the misery of this material world. That's another major part of Buddhist teaching. Of course, also a major part of the Vedic Upanishadic teaching is that this whole world is miserable. So that's a very common word in Buddhist discourse also, dukkha, misery. So beyond misery is nirvana, but that nirvana is not what they imagine it to be. Real nirvana is Krishna, who is bliss. He himself is bliss, that's one meaning of the name nirvana, and who gives bliss to his devotees, not to Buddhists. Well, yeah, whatever bliss they might taste in forgetting Krishna. I don't know what kind of bliss that is, but whatever they experience, whatever anyone experiences, it ultimately comes from Krishna. But the names of Vishnu Sahasranam, they're mostly concerned with his relationship with his devotees. This, on the spiritual platform, there are names also, just like we see here, Shashta, that's coming up in the next verse, means the creator. So the creator of the material world, so there are names in relation to the material world also. This is beyond parastasmatu bhava neo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nasyatsu na vinashyati. The name nirvana is for that which is beyond this material world, which is created and destroyed again and again. Beyond the material existence, there is Krishna. It's not a big nothingness. So he gives bliss. So this name, in that sense, is a synonym of ananda. That word has already come. That's also almost certainly in the English dictionary. Not such a well-known word, but though again, the people are into this mishmash of what they call New Age or some Eastern ideas blended in, blended with their imagination and desires for sense gratification, comes out as what they call New Age ideas. So they know the word Anand also. But real Anand means Krishna. He's the very form of bliss. Ananda Chinmaya. Oh, there are so many. Ananda Chinmaya Rasapati Bhavitabhi. His pastimes are all full of bliss. And he's the very form. Ananda Chinmaya Sadujvala Vigraha. He is the very form of Ananda Chinmaya, spiritual, Sat, Sadujvala. He's glowing and also Sat, because even non-devotees, they can glow, they can get some luster by performing austerities, just like here Aryaksha is described as having so much luster, bodily luster. Even after he died, he still looked lustrous. So Krishna is the actual bliss. He's beyond this state of this trying to be happy in this material world by the process of I, me, and mine. So he is bliss, and he gives bliss to those who want to go to him. Those who don't want to go to him, well, they don't get that bliss. He gives that in the previous name was previous name Sama was interpreted by Parashara Bhatta to mean he who removes the sins of those who sing about him. So this name he describes, it means that those whose sins are removed, okay, all right, the sins are removed, what happens after that? Then you get bliss. Not just removal of the sins, but become to the state of bliss. And that bliss is service to him. That's real bliss, not dhanam, janam, or sundari. It's not the bliss or the so-called bliss of sense enjoyment. Now, I didn't go through this at the name Ananda, but there is generally people think of nirvana as just stopping the mind and being peaceful. All your worries go away, all your stress goes away. But it's a lot more than that. It's bliss in Krishna's service. Now, I didn't discuss this when I went through the name Ananda. But there is a section in Taittiriya Upanishad which equates Brahma with Ananda. Brahma means the supreme. Sarve Veda Yat Padam Amananti, we just discussed that all the Vedas point to one point. What is that point? It's Brahma. What is that Brahma? Kim tad Brahma kim adhyatma? Aksharang Brahma paramam. What is that Brahma? The Brahma is that which encompasses everything. That is ultimately Krishna. So this is discussed in the Taittiriya Upanishad when Varuna was instructing his son, Yato va imani bhutani jayanti, yena jatani jivanti, yat prayatyabhisang vishanti, tad vijigyasasva, tad brahma. The Brahma, what is that? It is that from which everything emanates, that which in which everything exists, that into which everything ultimately enters. That is the proper subject matter for inquiring into. That is Brahma. So, in the Taittiriya Upanishad is described that Bhrigu approached his father and requested him to teach him about Brahma. And the father said, what is Brahma? Food is Brahma, prana is Brahma, the eye, the ear, the mind, and speech. And then he spoke that. Yato va imani bhutani jayanti. Those verses. Then Bhrigu went away and he did austerity, meditating on what he had been told. And then he realized the first thing that his father said, food is Brahma, anna Brahma. Because everything comes from food, everything exists by food. And when we die, then the body becomes food. So everything exists in food. Food is the ultimate. So then he went back to his father and said, yeah, I realize food is the ultimate. So he told him, yeah, okay, go away and do some more austerity. So he did some more austerity. Then he realized, oh, prana, the life breath, that is the ultimate. Because everything comes from prana, everything exists in prana, and everything merges into prana. So he got a little bit higher, annamai, pranamai, then mannamai. So these five koshas, is not described here, the five koshas. That's described, I believe, in Chandogya Upanishad. So then again he go, yeah, okay, now I understood. Prana is Brahma. Then he, okay, go do some more study. Then he understands, oh, the mind. Then the intellect. And finally, that bliss is the ultimate. Anando brahmeti vijanat. Anandadheva kalvimani bhutani jayanti. Anandena jatani jivanti. Anandang prayantyabhisangvishanti. So everything ultimately is bliss. Everything comes from bliss. Everything lives in bliss. Everything enters into bliss. So Brahman is bliss. It means Krishna. Everything everyone does is for the sake of bliss, but they miss the point. Krishna is all bliss. He's fully satisfied in himself. His well-known name is Atmarama. That's still fairly common name in India, is it? Not in Tamil Nadu, probably. In Maharashtra, that's especially, I believe, in Maharashtra. It's quite a common name.
So many names.
Hmm?
So many names.
What do you mean?
People have this name, Atmarama.
Yeah, it's very common name. Yeah. But I don't think they know what it means. Do they? Have they any? One who is happy in himself.
Rama.
They know Rama, but
they relate like that.
But they may think, I am Atma and I am Rama. They might think like, who knows what they think? Because it's not only Prabhupada who's preaching, there are so many. There are so many Maya impersonalist speculations on Ram Leela. It's Ananda Ramayana, Yoga Vashishta, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he beat up, literally, physically beat Advaita Acharya for teaching Yoga Vashishta, which is Vashishta, Rishi, instructing Rama how everything is all one. So there's, but Atma Rama means he is satisfied in himself. He takes that word, Aram is there, which means rest. So one who takes pleasure in himself, and that comes up, there's a very well-known verse in the Bhagavatam, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nigranta Apya Kurukame Kurvantya Haitu King Bhaktim Itam Bhuta Gono Harehe. That this doesn't refer to the Supreme Lord as Atma Rama, it refers to rishis like Shukadev himself, who are satisfied in themselves. Even though they're satisfied in themselves, they take pleasure in hearing about the qualities of Sri Hari, the personality of Godhead, which indicates that the qualities of Hari are spiritual, because one who is spiritually satisfied can't be attracted by anything material. This name comes up elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, also in relation to Krishna. Especially, this comes up, well, the idea that he is full and complete in himself, this is mentioned three times in the Rasa Panchadhai, the five chapters of the Bhagavatam which describe the Rasa Leela. So again and again, Shukadev makes the point, remember, he's not an ordinary materialistic enjoyer, don't make that mistake. He is satisfied in himself. That statement is there. Atmaramo pi ariramat. That even though he's satisfied in himself, he takes pleasure in and gives pleasure to the gopis. Atmanyavaruddha saurata. Within himself are all this apparently romantic affairs that he had with the gopis, that all comes from himself, that those such feelings. And then Rame Rame Sho Rajasundari Bhir Yatar Bhakha Swapratibimba Vibramaha. He is Ramesha. He is the lord of the of Lakshmi, who is again, she's the giver of pleasure. So this Ramesha, he enjoys with the gopis, the beautiful young girls of Vrindavan, and the example is given, it's just like a child enjoys seeing himself in the mirror. In other words, the gopis are all expansions of Krishna. He's enjoying himself. So, these, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on this. These and other texts of the scriptures go to show that self-delightedness is the essential distinctive quality of Krishna himself. He is by nature happy. He's a happy God. Not a happy God, he's the only God. And fortunately, he is all bliss. So this is a much better understanding of the word nirvana than some state. You can't even imagine what it is. You can't even begin to define what it is. It's not very clear how you attain the state. It's very difficult to attain it. And there's no love. Just, it's like blowing out a candle. What's left? Nothing. There was a flame, now it's gone. So this is the meaning of nirvana. Baladev Vidya Bhushan, he states that, he gives this as a name, again, of Vyasadeva, that in the previous name, Sama, he said that Baladev taught the hymns of the Sama Veda to his disciples, and nirvana means that he freed his disciples from ignorance and liberated them from material bondage. So he takes nirvana in the sense of becoming free from material life. The name Bheshajam. You've all heard that name, Bheshajam? No, it's not a well-known name at all. But it is the name of Vishnu. It means that he is the remedy or the cure. He is the cure for what? The disease of material existence. Bhavarog. It means that, literally means the disease. Well, bhava means come into being, so that gives the sense of punarapi jananam punarapi. If the coming into being means there's destruction also. Nasato vidyate bhava na bhava vidyate sataha. That which is sat, that which is actually real, it doesn't come into existence. It's always existing. But that which is unreal, it comes into being. And then it must cease to exist again. So, this bhava, that means material existence. And roga means disease. So, or hridroga, the disease of the heart, is kama, material desire. So he is the remedy for the otherwise incurable disease of repeated birth and death. So by remembering Vishnu, one becomes free from birth and death. By chanting his holy name, this the medicine of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Enechi Oshadhi Maya Nashibaro Lagi Harinama Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. He says, I brought the holy name. I brought the medicine for destroying illusion. It's Harinam Sankirtan, Harinam Mahamantra. Take it in a very humble mood of begging. So Harinam, which is non-different from Krishna, is the medicine for material existence. Similarly, the Bhagavatam or topics of Krishna, which is non-different from Krishna, that is the medicine for material existence. Nivritta tarshai rupa giyamanat bhavaushadat chotra mano biramat ka uttama shloka gunana vananam puman puman virajeta na, and what is it? And there's so many lines, last lines anyway. Puman virajeta vinasa pashugnat. Yeah. There are other verses which end with that. Puman. Puman bhavabdim nataret sa atmaha. That's another. So this is describes the medicine for bhava, material existence. Bhavoshada. The medicine for material existence is hearing about Krishna. And that medicine is distributed it's sung. Topics of Krishna are sung by people who of themselves are liberated. They are the doctors. They're not sick. They're free from material thirst. Nivritta tarshaya. Just it gives the idea of trishna. So in this material world, we have trishna, not Krishna. We have material thirst. Do you know this word Trishna? Does that come in any of your languages? No, you'll say Pyas in Hindi. In Marathi they say Trishna. Very high language, yeah.
In Bengali also,
Trishna. Yeah, it's there, but the common word is pipasha, for thirst.
In
Chaitanya Charitamrita you'll get it, but it's high language, and most people may not understand it. Pipasha is the common word for thirst. So in this material world, people are thirsty. They have piyas for PR, not PR, public relations, for so-called love. They're thirsty for years ago, maybe 30 years ago, there was a movie. You'd see this everywhere, Trishna, as maybe before you were cognizant of all these things. I don't have a clue. I used to see the Bollywood cinema posters. There was one called Sannyasi, the name of a movie. It showed someone with a big machine gun. And okay. Used to see in Calcutta, Hindi movies for the Biharis and Marwaris and this and that. So, Nivritta Tar Shari with Upagiyaman, that which is sung in disciplic succession by persons who are beyond the thirst for enjoying this material world. Upagiyamanat Bhavoshadat. It's the medicine for material existence. What kind of medicine? Is it in nasty, bitter? No, it's very pleasing to hear. It gives great pleasure to the mind. So, ka uttama shloka gunana vadat puman virajeta vina pashugnata. Who will not take pleasure in hearing about Krishna? Who will not take pleasure? Well, it seems like not that many people are taking pleasure. We don't get huge crowds. Well, why is that? Everyone should take pleasure if they're sensible. Well, that's the point. They're not sensible. Their people are animal killers. They won't take pleasure in this. And people who are killing themselves. That means particularly impersonalists. But anyone who is not taking to Krishna consciousness, they're spoiling their human life. So, everyone should take this medicine of Krishna Katha. Krishna himself is the medicine, and he makes himself available in the form of hearing about him and chanting his holy name. So what else is to be said about here? Yeah, so Baladev Vidyabhushan, he continues to describe these names in terms of Vyasadev. So Bheshajam means the medicine, and particularly he says that Vyasadev administered to his disciples and whoever else wants to take it, the medicine of pure devotional service to Krishna, which frees the devotees from the disease of material existence. The next name is Bhishak, which means a doctor, the one who gives the medicine. So that I just quoted, Nhe Oshadhi Maya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I brought the medicine for destroying the disease of Maya. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the expert physician who treats the disease at the root. In Ayurveda, the idea is to, if there's a disease, you treat it at the root, not symptomatically. You go to what's the root cause. Someone may be, they may have a headache, so you give them aspirin, but you have to find what is the cause of that headache? There could be dozens and dozens of causes. And then you treat the cause. It may be in Ayurveda, of course, it's the humors, an imbalance of the humors. So if there's too much air in the brain or too much pitta, these can be causes of a headache. Or it may be because the air is obstructing the flow, or it's not flowing properly. There's constipation, and therefore that affects, therefore as a headache. There can be so many reasons. An expert physician can find out the cause and treats the cause. So the ultimate cause of all our suffering in this material world is forgetfulness of Krishna. So the expert physician is Krishna, who comes to this material world and gives us the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, by which we can get free from the terrible condition of repeated birth and death. Even coming to this country place, we have to be a little careful that we don't get too peaceful. Think, oh, it's very nice. You're living here very peacefully. Of course, by nature's arrangement, there's in the cold season it's cold, so you feel discomfort. In the hot season it's hot. And in the rainy season, there are little bugs biting, which give you rashes all over the body. And so people want to find some paradise on earth. This Kashmir was in the Bhagavatam, that's called Bhuswarga, heaven on earth. Not now. It's Kalashnikov Swarga. I don't think they use Kalashnikovs. They use it there?
Yes, yes.
Is it?
All the terrorists use Kalashnikovs.
The military also. Yeah. I thought it must be out of date. It's still going on, huh? One of Russia's great gifts to the world. He's not Russian. He's from Ukraine. So don't shoot him with a Kalashnikov. Shoot him with a Ukrainian gun. No such thing. They still have the nuclear weapons used to be in Ukraine. They moved them all. They took them out. That's a good thing for them because they're less likely to get nuclear weapons on themselves. After Chernobyl, they didn't want it, huh? Okay. I went to Gomel once, which is just on the other side of the border from Chernobyl. It's in Belarus. After I'd been there, they said, oh, we're just next to Chernobyl. Oh, thanks very much. I just got good dose of good dose of radiation. So, that's only one thing in the material world. You can get treated for so many things. But the real thing is to get out of this material world. So Krishna is the expert physician. He gives the teaching by which we can come out of this material world. He gives in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives all the Vedas, he comes himself personally. Taittiriya Upanishad again, Pratamo Daivyo Bhishak. That the first and transcendental doctor is Krishna himself. This could none of the old commentators have given this idea, but a modern commentator has given the idea that this can refer to Dhanvantari, any Ayurvedic institute that you go to, the Dhanvantri Bhagavan, his picture is there being worshipped. By his mercy, one can become free from material diseases, and one can become free from all diseases by the mercy of Krishna. Baladev, he just gives the idea. He's the greatest physician. So when we're sick, remember Krishna. When we're healthy, also remember Krishna. But especially when we're sick, or when we go to the doctor, we can see that he's a manifestation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is working through him. Just like the king is a representative of the Supreme Lord. Naranam chanaradhipam, Krishna says, among men I am the king, he's the representative of the Supreme Lord. The Brahman is the representative of the Supreme Lord. So the doctor also. He's also getting mercy from Dhanvantari. So we can remember when we see a doctor to have that much respect. Hare Krishna, any discussion about this? And then we'll go on the next session, which I don't know when that will be, about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah.
When
a jiva becomes self-satisfied. When does he become self-satisfied? When he performs undivided, unmotivated devotional service to Krishna. Savai pung sang paro dharma yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma suprasediti. Not just satisfied, but fully blissful when one performs unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service to the transcendental Lord. Then he becomes fully blissful. You want to find out that you don't know about the pastime where Krishna goes to the heavenly planets and brings back the Parijata flower. Why in particular that pastime? Krishna measured bags? That's different. That's different. There are so many pastimes. Which shastra is in that Tula Bharan of Krishna with the tulsi leaf?
Actually, to Satyabhama is very proud.
Yeah.
Just to come.
Yeah, I know the story, but where is it? Maybe it's in Harivansha. I'm going through Harivansha now. It's not in Mahabharata.
Says
not in Bhagavata. Maybe in Lalita Madhava, but that it's in older than that. Lalita Madhava is only 500 years old, but it's, and that's only known to a few devotees. It's not well known, but this story is well known everywhere, all over India. So let me go through Harivansha and we'll see. Krishna went to the heavenly planets to give back the earrings of Aditi that had been stolen by Banasura. Then he brought back the Parijata flower from there, and then Satyabhama, when he went to Dwarka, he gave that to Rukmini, because she's number one queen. Then Satyabhama became jealous and said, well, you didn't give it to me. So Krishna went back and brought the whole tree, at which point Indra, who had just got his mother's earrings back by the grace of Krishna, fought with Krishna and said, you can't take this. But Krishna took it anyway by fighting with Indra. He brought the Parijata tree. We don't have here Parijata. Now there are Parijata trees all over India. Tulabharanya, that's just described, that Satyabhama was transcendentally feeling proud that she's the best. So you've seen in the temples they had this Tulabharan. Someone has to sit on the scale and then they put the weight on the other side in gold. But no one does it in gold nowadays. Okay. Maybe this Krishna Devarai, he did it. Was his kingdom as far as this? I don't think it came this far.
Yeah, it was in Andhra.
No, but did it come this far? I don't think so. Anyway, He may have done that. If you're a big king, you can do it. And then the alternative is silver or copper. And nowadays people may do it in wheat grains, bananas, or sugar, something like this. And you give to the deity. So, what's equal to Krishna? Krishna sat on the scale. And no one's equal. Only one tulsi. When they put tulsi leaf, then it became equal. Otherwise, you can... Satyabhama, no. So that's one story. There are so many nice pastimes of Krishna. You can, this is all this in Krishna book, this Parijata story. Did you not read Krishna book? You didn't read it, yeah. So you can read it. It's right. It's Manobhirama. Very pleasing to the mind. It's the medicine for material existence. Hare Krishna, yeah.
If in spiritual world everything is blissful, there is no austerity or penance there?
There's no austerity or penance in the spiritual world. Maybe sometimes Krishna goes off and makes a show of it. At least here we hear about Krishna becoming a sannyasi, pretending to be a brahmachari, but that's all tricks so he can get Radharani. Yeah, no penance there. What do you want to go to and do there in penance? You do penance to go there. You know, when you go there, you don't do penance.
But there is also some kind of bliss in happiness in doing austerity for God.
Is there bliss in doing austerity for God? Yeah, anything you do for God is going to be blissful. There's a pleasure. Just like fasting on Janmashtami. It's for Krishna. I have to, then you, that the suffering becomes happy. She brought her, she tapa, she madat Narottam Dasas, the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari. They are my brata. They are my tapa. They are my vows and my austerities. So that's all bliss.
There is no physical austerity or.
In the spiritual world, there's nothing physical at all. It's all spiritual. Go there, you'll find out. That was Srila Prabhupada's standard reply to questions about the spiritual world. It's beyond our... We can get some idea, but we're all frogs in a well. We're in very limited consciousness, very limited senses, what can we understand of the spiritual world? Someone can tell us we're a frog in the well, and someone can tell us there's an ocean, but we can only get a very vague idea. We have to go there and experience it.
One more question. Like material world manifests from Mahavishnu, it becomes everything stays and.
Yeah, the material universe is emanating seed form from Mahavishnu.
And again, after Pralaya, everything...
Then at the end of Brahma's life, they enter into him, yeah.
So, like that, the spiritual world comes from...
No, spiritual world is always existing. There's no Pralayam.
But where he stays is... Like, where it is.
Where is it? It's parastas madhu bhavo. It's beyond this material existence.
But it must be taking shelter of something. No? Like,
that's a material consideration. Everything has to be manifested according to the laws of physics. The whole spiritual world is within the heart. Krishna's in the heart, so he's there also. The whole spiritual world is there. The spiritual world is a manifestation of Baladev. He manifests, the whole spiritual world manifests from him to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. In that way, he serves Krishna in Shantaras. He serves Krishna in Dasyaras as being, taking the role of his servant as a younger brother, more so in the role of Lakshman than as Balaram, then as a friend, then he has parental feelings, he wants to protect Krishna because he's older, and also in Sringaras, he takes the form of the younger sister of Radha. So in this way he serves Krishna in all possible ways. So one way is he manifests as the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Shri Vishnu Sahasranama Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.